Amen. Well, it's a real privilege and a real blessing to be with you guys today. I was texting my wife. My wife sends regards to you guys. She's in the south of France and enjoying 40 degrees in Aix-en-Provence, spending time with her mother. And I'm in Goul. Yay! Amen. And I sent her a text early saying, I'm in church on a farm. It's awesome. And then she sent me a text back saying, I'm also in church in the south of France. But I still think the church on a farm trumps on the southern coast of France, you know. Amen. Well then, if you don't know me, I think probably most of you do know me, but some may not know me. My name's Jonathan. I have been in the ministry for around about 20 plus years now, and I was first called as an evangelist in the Apostolic Church, and then I moved on to the Assemblies of God and ended up leading a church and started planting churches, started developing leadership teams, and just having an amazing adventure in the purposes of God. Some days were great, yay! Some days were not so great, yay! But there's still a yay, amen, because the Bible teaches quite clearly that we should rejoice, as Pastor was saying, always. And I try and position myself in the always rather than the circumstances, because if I get myself into the place of always rejoicing, something of the Holy Spirit's activating power releases me and gives me a better perspective on the circumstances I may be having to navigate and traverse through. Amen. And I've also written my very first book, which is a miracle in itself. If anybody knows me, To write a book, it has literally been something of heaven being placed on the inside, and the outworking has been a few years. It was literally an assignment I didn't want to take hold of in the church where I was on staff. Everybody, say everybody. Because if I'm going to be speaking today, you guys are going to be talking. And, you know, I've heard the sound of this church this morning, and I have been encouraged, blessed, lifted up into heavenly places, because who knows, we need to be lifted into heavenly places. Amen. You know, I don't want to be too heavenly minded that I'm not earthly good, but I want to experience heavenly realms. Amen. And you guys have lifted me this morning into a heavenly realm. And everybody was writing books. Jared was writing books. Andrew was writing books. Chris was writing books. James was writing books. All the senior leadership team were writing books. And I'm thinking, I don't want to write a book. I do not want to follow this trend. And then the Holy Ghost arrested me. And he gave me an assignment to write a book. And I'm thinking, dear me, I'm not educated. I struggled at school. My grammar is not really good. I use a thing called Grammarly now. It's amazing. And then I use a person called an editor, made everything legible and readable. So I've wrote a book called a Pioneer's Perspective. I'll just give you the little blurb at the back. You may have never recognized a pioneer within you, or you may be a person who often dreams of adventures but have never acted on them. You may even be an experienced trailblazer who has pioneered in many different contexts. No matter which category you fall into, I believe this book is going to cause your heart to burn with a passion to reach out into your communities on a whole new level. I really believe this has been a prophetic assignment. It just talks a little bit about leadership in developing new locations. It tackles moving in the miraculous. It's just, it's a really, really, are you ready? And it's an easy read, okay? And it's designed just to slot into your quiet times. The chapters are small, and I will be selling these later on for £97 million, 322 pence at the end. No, I'm only joking. These are going for £8. If you would like one, I'd be more than happy to sell you one. Amen. Right then. Well, I've gone through the blurb. I've gone through who I am. And if you've got a Bible, can you, or if you've got it on your phone, Because we are in a new day where the Bible is on phones. Once upon a time, I used to carry my Bible to church, which I try to do most times. But other times, if I'm in churches where it's rather dark, not dark in a spiritual sense, but because of lighting, it's amazing to have a phone on you because it just illuminates. Can you go to Exodus chapter 3? And I am going to aim to be around about half an hour. I have got lots and lots of content and things which are burning in my spirit. But I really want to probably give you a little bit of a potpourri today of a few different things. But I want to base some of my thoughts from Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4. But before we dig into this body of text, I was walking just like Pastor Robert was walking, but it wasn't misty when I got up. So I must have got up slightly later than you. As I was walking with the dog, or as I was being dragged along by my working Cocker Spaniel, I'm praying for you guys and I'm thinking, you know, Lord, anoint me as you do. Lord, I want to speak with clarity. Lord, give me words from heaven. And I just had a real sense that God wants to release strength into this fellowship, okay? Not just individually, but cooperatively. And as I was pondering on God wants to release strength, I want to just release a couple of insights found from some of the prophetic writings found in the Old Testament and a New Testament principle which helps us just manage how we move and developing strength. Is that okay? And then I'm going to jump into the main subject. So one of the minor prophets, and I don't know who it is, one day I will meet him and he will tell me his name. He says, let the weak say, I am strong. Now, what we need to understand about this is the context. And the context is, let the weak, let's all set weak. So I can identify to weakness. I can identify to frailty. I can identify to sometimes not being able to be in a place of strength. And I identify, and I'm in a place where, Lord, how am I going to ever do this thing? Or how am I going to get through this? Or I don't feel like Superman today and I can't find a revolving door anywhere to do a quick costume change into Superman. Amen. Has anyone ever been there thinking, how on earth am I going to muster the strength to be able to press on and press through? But the Bible teaches this, let the weak say I am strong. So it's in a place where we acknowledge our capacity, we acknowledge where we're at, and that's a good thing. And being vulnerable and being honest and understanding our limits and being in a place of, well, this is where I'm at. I'm not a super Christian today. I don't feel strong. I don't know where strength is. In fact, I woke up this morning. I didn't even realize I was a Christian. You know, there's times when we have moments like that. But it says, let the weak say I'm strong. There is an aligning and a posturing in our spirit where we can have a declaration to say, I am strong. And something happens when we speak the word, which releases divine power into our being and positions and postures us in a place of strength. And the Apostle Paul, and let me just, before I go to the Apostle Paul, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 verse 30, before we get to the wonderful verse 31, all those who hope on the Lord shall renew their strength. He brought clarity and understanding. He says, even youths, now let's think about it, even youths grow weary. And I was thinking about this, even young people grow weary. And usually we look at young people, we think, man, you're strong, you're athletic, you know, you're going to go on forever. You look at toddlers, they've not even got a turn-off button. They'll just wake up and they'll just be on Duracell batteries forever. And we're thinking, are you ever going to get tired? And they don't seem to get tired. But David has got a touch of the anointing as Vinny is just resting right now. Amen. You know, and we look at young men and young women in the athlete world and they're at the peak in the 20s. You think they'll never get tired. And I'm going to bring it a little bit closer. I remember when I had to do a season in Tesco's distribution, everyone go, yay! You know, I've been pastoring for years and leading churches, and I end up finding myself in this warehouse. And I'm thinking, this is hard work, and I'm tired. And I looked at the young men and women who were doing the same job, and I said to this young guy, do you know, I wish I were like 20 years younger. I wouldn't be as tired as I'm feeling when, because you do a shift in Tesco's, Dave will testify. Testify, Dave. Ow! You know, you get tired. You know, I had muscles on muscles. I even had muscles in my toes. I'm thinking, I never knew my toes could ache. And I said to this young guy, I goes, man, it's so hard. I'm tired. I bet you're never tired. And he looked at me with a look which I'll never forget. He says, me too. And I'm thinking, man, you're young and it shouldn't burn you out. But he says, no, I get tired too. And that really helps us just understand that even young people get tired. But the Bible teaches this, and the Apostle Paul helps us just connect to strength. I think I might just speak on strength, if that's okay today. Are we okay with that, yeah? Okay then. So I'm looking at this young guy, and I'm starting to realize that you're getting tired, you're getting weak, but the Bible teaches that there's a crossover moment in Isaiah's message when he says this. Are we ready? Okay, then. I've got it on this phone because I was looking up the scripture. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will, everyone say will. Yes. Oh, I like that. Will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So it's those who hope and those who trust in the Lord have the ability to be able to engage in a place where we are renewed in strength. Now, if God is going to make us stronger, there's a part we need to play. So if I want to become stronger and grow and develop muscles, I need to go to the gym. Okay, you know, that is the logical thinking I would have. If I want to gain some strength in my body, I will go to the gym. I remember being in Teen Challenge. Okay, I remember looking at all these young men in Teen Challenge thinking, man, you have got a six pack, you have got muscles on muscles. I want to be like you. I want to have this wonderful six pack. I want to have these biceps which are popping. I want to wear t-shirts which are two sizes too small for me to display this wonderful body, sculpted, muscly. And I went into the gym. I'm thinking, I'm gonna embrace this process. I'm gonna be strong. Everyone says strong. I'm gonna become strong. And as I went into the gym, I started to do the weights on the arms. I started to do the weights on the legs. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. I'm really enjoying this. I'm becoming stronger. I was built for this. I'm designed to be strong. I'm going to be like this athletic. Yeah, in fact, I had pictures. I was going to look like The Rock. And if anyone knows Rock, you know, I've got the, you know, muscles popping everywhere, do the smoldering look from time to time. And the day after, everyone said day after. So I was full of enthusiasm. I was full of, you know, optimism. My cup was overflowing with the possibilities of what I was going to look like and how strong I was going to feel. The next day, I was in rehab. My legs, I was walking like this. I'm thinking, I did not expect this. I tried to move my arms. I'm thinking, I did not expect this neither. This is an unusual feeling. In fact, I don't like feeling how I'm feeling. And the process brought pain. You know, it was shocking. But the truth is, there's a process that we need to engage in order to become stronger. And even when we're in a place of weakness and frailty, God wants to deposit strength into our lives. And the strength comes through the Word of God. Amen. Strength comes through being in community. Strength comes from connecting to a God of all hope, not just some hope, but all hope. Amen. And once upon a time, hope for me used to be like, and I can say this in this congregation, a wet bar of soap. I say it to the youth congregations, they look at me and they think, what's a bar of soap? I'm thinking, you know, if it's wet, it just flies everywhere. Hope was really hard to hold on to. But the truth is, when we start to trust in God, when we start to lean into who he is, when we start to lean into the promises he has spoken through his word and the promises he has personally spoken into our situations, hope arises on the inside and strength is released. Amen. There's something powerful about being in community, because in community, strength is released as well. Because not only are we called to trust in God, but we're called to trust and connect with one another. And what I sensed this morning, as you were sharing testimony and speaking together, there was a wonderful linking of faith. See, because the Bible teaches this, that we move from faith to faith. Now, grammatically, that doesn't really make sense. Why would I want to move from faith to faith? Because I'm in faith and I'm moving to faith. You know, and when we start to think about, well, I'm progressing and I'm moving in faith, and we start to fill in some of the blanks of what Paul's trying to say to the church. But when we look at the original language, what Paul is saying, we move from saving faith to an explosive faith. And there's a journey, there's a process from moving from saving faith to explosive faith. But then he also goes on to teach the church that we move from strength to strength. Now, this is really, really interesting, because at the beginning, I said, let the weak say I am strong. So we need to understand that if we're weak, we're not feeling strong, correct? But we need to declare that we're strong. So what we're declaring is that we have got the ability and the capacity to receive from him and to draw from him the strength which is needed. So the Apostle Paul says we move from strength to strength. I really believe this, and many of us can testify to this truth, that in some of our weaker moments in life, they are really our strongest moments. The moments where we haven't broken, the moments where we haven't given up, the moments when we've looked at the summit and thought, how on earth am I going to reach the summit? I've not even got an oxygen tank to help me deal in this climate, which is adverse and hostile for my very living, because I just don't know how I'm going to get there. But God gives us the ability to somehow take hold of promise and reach to the summit. And Isaiah then helps us understand this connection of being able to somehow transition from weariness to strength. Because he says this in verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So there's the promise of something of the Spirit is going to rise on the inside of you and lift you into a place of possibility. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to raise this church into a new place of possibility. But it's going to raise you into a place of possibility with a renewed strength, believing that this is capable. And it says this, they will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, I just want us to just ponder, to rest, to have a sealer moment on the scripture. Because sometimes we're fast-tracked readers. Amen? Sometimes we can read the scripture. And this is me. We'll just read the scripture. And we've read the scripture. But I really believe that God wants us to start to slow down, to be more meditative. He wants us to be more reflective. Now, I'm getting a little bit older. Now, I know I only look like 21. Okay, well, 31. Well, 52 is a new 40. And through lockdown, I have found a new element in my relationship with God, which has been absolutely transformational. And this is stillness. So Pastor was saying, be still and know that I'm God. I heard him there. And I could never reconcile to my frenetic lifestyle, to my charismatic nature, to the tigger who bounces all the time. How on earth, to the person who always talks, I am a talker. I am learning to listen, but I will still talk while you're talking. It's just, you know, anyway. And silence and stillness have never really been companions in my experience in the things of God. But I have become a friend of stillness, of quietness. He leads me beside still waters. It's taken 25 years for God to bring me into a place of stillness to gain clarity. Woo! There's so much there. And in a moment, and as the psalmist says, Selah, pause. It's a musical interlude. It's where the music really happens. It's not in the noise of the instrument. It's in the silence. It's in between the notes where God crafts something of incredible beauty, which takes hold of us, which brings the melodies and the rhythms of heaven into our world. And I found it because Selah means to pause. But again, when we start to dig a little bit deeper into the original language, it means to pause in his presence. And I found something of stillness in the nature of God, which has changed me, which has been transformational. You know, I'm going to become a contemplative monk. You know, I could do life with no one now. It's amazing. I used to need people, but, you know, I could go up onto a mountain and that's it, I'm away. But that's when we need to slow down. We need to be reflective. We need to somehow draw from the Word of God those moments where we can allow God to speak to us instead of just reading the Scripture, just pausing back. Joshua, he understood this concept, moving a nation into a new season. And I believe the church is moving into a new season. You know, we heard the language, you know. What was the language that they were saying? It's, you know, the new new. Remember, what was it? There was a tagline going out, you know, it's something new. The new normal, yeah. And now we're wrestling with the new normal. I like normal, you know, even though I'm a pioneer and an adventurer, I still like that. I'm thinking, why do we need a new normal? And I was asking God, new normal? Okay, then. And God says it's a new season because God works in seasons. And that helped me engage in a new season. When the world called it a new normal, God calls it a new season. And in this new season where we can be reflective and take hold of pause moments in God and draw truth from his word. It builds strength, brings vision, because Isaiah said this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Vision was cast, hope was taken hold of, but then there was the reality of the process. And the reality of the process is this, they will run and not be weary. So God is saying, I'm going to bring you back to that place of amazing excitement and adventure. Have you noticed kids? You know, they never walk into granddad's living room. They never walk into a room. They go, yay! And they're running around. You know, they're 100 mile an hour. They're just full of this energy. And God is saying, I'm going to bring you back into this place of excitement. I'm going to bring you back into this place of adventure. I'm going to give you an infusion of such strength. It's going to colour your world like it's never coloured it before. But then he says, you'll run and not be weary. I'm a runner. I get tired. If anyone's ever run, you know, you get tired. You know, and I was trying to reconcile, but I'll run and not get tired. I remember the first time I started running, and I've been running 7 years, so I know what I'm talking about when it comes to running. And I'd run 50 yards the very first time. I'd start like Superman. It's amazing. I would get all my kit on. I've got my trainers on. I would set off like, I'm away. I'm going, woo, this is great. 2 seconds later, I'm like Darth Vader. You know, breathing's all over the place. My lungs have being displaced, they're making me look like a chubby little chipmunk, you know what I mean? Alvin and the Chipmunk, you know. In fact, I'm not a good advertisement for runners. I remember the first time I ever started running, I'm running down, everyone said downhill. Down it, Bradford, round here, it's all flat, Bradford. Uphill, downhill, and I'm running downhill, and this person, I'll never forget it, in the garden looked at me and goes, oh, that's not good. And I'm thinking, no way. And then when I started running again in the flatlands, I was running through Hook, and this lady looked at me and said something on the similar lines. Oh, you just don't look good. I'm thinking, man, on the inside, I look like Seb Coy. It was amazing. But I mustn't have been a really good advertisement for others. I remember running back after an injury. I'm just having a pause. Whew, you know, regain strength. And this little old lady, bless her, she was gorgeous, comes up to me. Do you need me to ring somebody? And I'm going, oh, no. You know, so you're running, you get weary, you run and you get tired. And I'm thinking, how on earth, you know, how am I going to do this thing? And then the Holy Spirit gave me, it makes it really practical. It brings illustrations which I get, you know. So God would speak to farmers, it would bring farming terms. It would speak to builders, it would bring agricultural terms. It speaks to me in Jonathan terms, and it was literally this. It's about spiritual fitness. Where I could only run for a minute, I can now run for a few hours. It's about the process. It's about going from strength to strength. It's about putting the hard work in. It's about, you know, being dedicated and disciplined. It's about being devoted to my sport, devoted to the craft of running, learning, understanding, moving past certain barriers which used to be barriers for me before. And now I can run for quite some time. So what he's saying here is this: you'll run and not be weary. His promise releases into our world personally a new capacity to be able to endure. And see, when we endure, we're not meant to endure like this. Oh, we're meant to endure like this. Yay! Because, you know, David, King James has nailed it. Yay! The one walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. James also says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Everyone got, ugh. Because perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. So we've got so many scriptures which help us just somehow connect to the truth that greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. There's times when we take hold of the scripture, and Ezekiel was in a place where he didn't have strength, but the Spirit of God came into him and raised him to his feet. There's a rising taking place on the inside of you as an individual where God is going to rise you back to your feet in a place of incredible strength. Amen? And even if you're weak today, and even if you can't see the trees because of the fog, the trees are still there because God is about to do something unique in your life. He's going to connect you to his strength, and you are going to move from strength to strength. And just in closing, could I have some music, please? Because I don't know whether I've done half an hour. I think I might have done half an hour. I want to just focus in, and I've never seen this before, and I was praying earlier, to Philippians, again, Paul's teaching the church on this principle of strength. And he says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I'm thinking, do you know, what do you mean I can do all things? Because there's some things I just can't do. You know, I can't play the harp. I could if I learn, probably give me the patience and, you know, the tenacity to be able to. But I just saw a connection between strength and circumstances. You know, there's been some things we've walked through. There's been some things we've crawled through in life, because life, you know, sometimes throws curveballs. Life sometimes feels uphill. Sometimes, you know, and this is just truth. Life sometimes feels like we're brushing water uphill. And that's just true. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You know, and that word trouble is in the Greek, is a whole list of different things, you know, which we have to navigate, you know. But the truth is, I don't focus on the circumstance. I focus on Christ in the circumstance. You know, no matter how strong the storms may feel, the storms are never ever designed to weaken faith. Trust me, never. When the disciples faced a storm, it wasn't to knock them off balance. Even though they felt unbalanced and unhinged in that moment, Christ was still there. The storms are meant to strengthen faith, because Jesus then taught them on the power of faith and releasing. That's just a total different sermon. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What he's saying is, there is strength for you as an individual to be able to navigate through all circumstances which life throws at you, even if you're weak, even if you're bedridden, even if life isn't playing out the way you expected it to play out and a curveball has been thrown. God gives you the strength and the wisdom and the vision to be able to navigate through that. So I prophesy right now over this church, over this house, over this family, that you are moving from a place of strength to a new place of strength. Strength which, and it may sound cliche, but strength which is going to help you step into the next level of adventure which he has for you. Strength which gives you the ability to believe for a new day, a new thing. And part of my mission and part of my assignment has changed and altered. But there's a sound which God has given me. And it's a sound of moving and flowing in the miraculous. I believe that the church needs to reclaim the truth of the dynamic demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was going to teach on this, but I just had to, pause. We need to listen to God a little bit more and take steps. And that's not in a condemning way. That's in an exciting way. If I hadn't taken a step this morning to pray for you as a church and you as individuals, I may have never heard strength. And I believe that there's going to be moments where you're in prayer. Now, this church is strong in prayer. There's going to be moments where things are going to break. Things of turnaround. Things of movement. For some in this room, you're like Zechariah. And Zechariah, are you okay just for a few more minutes? Zechariah was a priest. Man, what an honour to be able to go into the most holy of places. Woo! We've got to think, this is God Almighty, who longs to catch his attention, who longs to dwell with us, who says in his word, I will inhabit, I'll make my home. in your praise. What comes off your lips creates space, an environment for me to be me. Not only that, our bodies are his dwelling place. You know, when we get the reality and the revelation and the realization that God, you're in me. Not just on me, you're in me. You're fused into who I truly am. Woo! Zechariah entered that place of presence. And heaven touched earth. An angel came and released destiny over Zechariah's life. And when you look at the text and you look at the original language, it talks about, I've come in answer to your prayers. But the word there which is used is, I've come in answer to the prayers you've stopped praying. Just think of that for a moment. Prayers you stop praying, I've come in answer to. Wow. You know, there's been prayers which have been released and there's been a long timeline. Abraham's miracle, he had to wait a lot of years. God's timeline's different to our time. I want it now, please. I want it in a year, I want it in 6 months. When Daniel started to pray, the angel, heaven touched earth again. The word of God was released into his atmosphere. It said, as soon as you humbled yourself to pray, I was sent. As soon as we position and humble ourselves to focus on him, to ask him to intervene, for him to do what only he can do, things start to move. And it's throughout the scripture. The miracle at the Jordan for Joshua when he released the priests to move in the miraculous. The church, a nation. The miracle was upstream. There's miracles which are upstream and they're coming your way. There's answers to prayer which are going to be fulfilled in your lifetime, but there's also going to be answers of prayer which are going to be fulfilled in this generation's lifetime. So Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every single person in this room right now. I ask, Lord, would you release your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. Lord, I pray for those who need to increase in strength. And I thank you for strength, which is hidden on the inside. The Holy Spirit wants you to know that there are many Gideons in this room who didn't realize the potential and the strength and the destiny which God had for them. And heaven touched his world and released truth to him. I declare that you are mighty. You are a mighty man and a mighty woman of God. And God has called you to be able to draw from the strength which the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He brings strength to help us face whatever challenge. Even if it brings change and even if it brings training, let's embrace the adventure in the purposes of God. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.